Well, I want to talk about developing a sense of timing tonight. You ever been someplace and suddenly you realize that you're at the wrong place at the wrong time? And maybe some of you ladies have not, but just about all of us guys have. Well, I'm most of myself, but I know Tony because I see him down there. Anybody else, any of you other guys ever been at the wrong place at the wrong time? You know, that happens when you're a teenager, I guess. And I'm not talking about we wasn't doing nothing bad or anything. It's just that it wasn't a place I should have been. And I want to talk about developing a sense of timings for us to be successful in our walk with God as well as in the natural. You know, in business sometimes people miss opportunities because they don't know the right time to expand. Successful relationships depend upon doing the right thing at the right time. A sense of timing will help you to be protected against danger. You know, some people, like I'd be out, if I was be out on the lake or something with the family back a few years back with the boys, the grandboys fishing, I'm always, while I'm out there, I'm always watching the sky, because you need to have a, if you see some clouds forming, you need to get a sense of timing. Hey, I need to be out of here within the next 15 minutes. You see, some people don't ever pay any attention to anything. I mean, I told Annette the other day, and then that night we had some real severe thunderstorm. I said, I've been watching this weather. I said, we need to start praying right now and rebuking the storms, because I said, this thing, that's what it's building into. If you just have a sense of some things sometimes in the natural, you can pick up on stuff. In fact, in 1976, I think it was, we had one of our worst tornadoes here in Tulsa. It hit over at 121st Street and Garnet or Mingo, one of those. A lot of our students lived in those apartments over there. I myself and another person, we were the first ones in there trying to help, and I remember helping digging some of our students out in there. Actually, we got there and they had been in their bathroom with a mattress over. There wasn't nothing left, and their Volkswagen car was sitting in the middle of their living room. But that was in the middle of December. Well, we normally don't have that kind of weather this time of year. It's usually in the spring. But if you learn to develop a sense of timing, you can look at the clouds, you can look at the natural, and realize that something's happening. You know, in various professions, a sense of timing is vitally important. In games, a football game especially, when a play is called, if you're not in the right place at the right time doing the right thing, the whole thing falls apart. In fact, some of you probably don't know, but maybe you've heard of Vince Lombardi, the great coach. And he said, I'll give you my play. And if my people, if all 11 men execute their and are in the right position at the right time, you can't stop us. That's what happens, see, being at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. You know, farmers have to recognize the seasons and have a sense of timing about planting. I know my grandpa, I remember when I was about 5 years old and I was up there and grandma said to him, said, listen, so and so, I saw them. They were planting today. And I remember Papa said, "Yeah, they're gonna lose their crop." He said, "It's two weeks too early." And she said, "No, this is the normal time we should plant." He said, "Yeah, but haven't you been watching things? Haven't you been watching the trees and the budding and so forth and so on?" Said, "We're about 2 weeks away from planting time." Why? Because he understood the timing. Timing is important in everything that we do. Some people know the right thing, but they use a poor sense of timing. Some people, it causes them to be less successful. Now, what does the word say about having a sense of timing? Well, I think you have to go back to listen at Solomon. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. If you can't find it, I'll send Tony, he'll help you. I see people looking, finding it. I'm going to read the New Living Translation, so if you got your device there, it's got the different translations, you can go there. "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance, a time to scatter stone, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, and a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." You know that one, a time to be quiet and a time to speak? Well, there's some people need to learn that one. You know, I want you to notice, Solomon here said, there is a time, you know, in this one scripture, that time to embrace and a time to turn away. Have you ever seen someone who doesn't know when a relationship is over and they keep going on until it turns into stalking and harassing? Have you ever known somebody that they just keep talking when they should be quiet? Excuse me. You know, it says, "For everything there is a season and time for every activity under heaven." That's everything. There's a time to shout and there's a time to be quiet in church. You ever been at I've been around church all my life. That's for about 28 years now. Oh, I inverted the numbers, didn't I? Anyway, everybody else is just praising the Lord, and it's a very peaceful, and all of a sudden somebody takes off jumping and running and hollering and going on. Well, there's a time for jumping and shouting, but there's also a time for just quietly worshiping God. And if everybody else is quietly worshiping God, that is not a time for you to be jumping and shouting. Don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. I did, but I didn't land on my head, you know. But there's a time for everything. And we need to know the timing, the time to do the right thing, the appropriate thing. When we do, it brings great results and great reward. God has planned for everything. In the New Living Translation of Psalm 75:2, it says, God says, "At the time I have planned." That's just the first part of the verse. "At the time I have planned, I'll bring justice against the wicked." You see, we need to keep in mind that God has a plan, has a timetable. And we need to learn how to work with God. In the natural, we need to develop a sense of timing as far as our words are concerned, when we speak and when not to speak. Proverbs 15:23 in the New Living Translation says, everyone enjoys a fitting reply, and it's wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Now, I looked at in the Passion Translation, it says, everyone enjoys good advice, but how delightful it is to say the right thing at the right time. Sometimes, see, it says everybody enjoys a fitting reply. Sometimes it's not the time to say anything. You know, after I preached a bad sermon, Lynette knows better than to say, of course she knew this because she grew up in a pastor's home, but she don't tell me how bad it was. I already know how bad it was. Now, later on, she might talk to me and say, you know, I think if you'd have said this or did this, it'd have been better. And I said, yeah, it sure would. But if she would have said something that's right after I walk off the stage, now, you guys, don't look at me like that. You all know what I'm talking about. If she'd have said something then, I probably would have said something back that I didn't need to say back. Don't look at me like that. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And you also know when you need to keep your mouth shut and don't say nothing to her. How many guys know what I'm talking about? See, some people in some situations get the idea they should never say anything. But we still need to speak the truth in love. But there is a right time for it. There's a proper time. You know, in 1 Chronicles 12:32, in the Living Translation, from the tribe of Issachar, there were leaders of the tribe with their relatives. And all these men understood the signs of the time and knew the best course for Israel to take. They helped Israel be successful because they understood what was going on. Now, another thing we need to understand in timing is that God may tell us some things, and it may not mean that it's going to happen the next week or the next year even or the next day. Habakkuk 2:3, and we've read this before, the vision is for the future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled if it's slow and come and wait patiently for it. It will surely take place and will not be delayed. Now, here, God may speak to you and tell you something, but just because he spoke to you and told you something is no sign you try to make it happen. You need to wait for his timing. Some people get impatient and get out ahead of God. We got to realize that God speaks to us about things that have not come yet. I know that, you know, when we see some things, we have to realize that the timing is very, very important. Here, in Jesus talking to the crowd, he talks to them there in Luke 12:54-56, and Jesus turned to the crowd and said, when you see the clouds beginning to form, as you say, here comes a shower, and you're right. New Living Translation. When the south wind blows, you say, today will be a scorcher, and it is. You fools. You know how to interpret the signs of the weather in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. He was talking to them about the fact that they knew all of this, and yet they did not recognize the time of his coming, his Messiahship. And he wept over the city of Jerusalem, and because they did not know the time of their visitation. We must realize that in the natural and the spiritual realm, there is timing. Now, Jesus had a sense of timing to be at the right place at the right time. And several times in the scripture, and I'll just read one, John 7:8 in New Living, but several times he told them, he said, you go on to the festival or the feast, but my time has not come yet. Several times, if you read the scripture, he says, my time has not come yet. And then, if you go on studying, you'll see John 8:20, he made that statement again, my time has not come yet. But then you will see that he knew his time had come, if you'll study. And he told them, his disciples, to go prepare the Passover feast. And that's when he instituted the what we call the communion. And then he said there in John, before the Passover celebration, knew his hour had come and it was time. And remember, he went out to the garden and prayed, and then and they took him from there. And some people say, well, they came and captured him. No, they didn't. He said, no one, he talked about his life. He said, no one takes it from me, but I lay it, John 10:18, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. He knew the timing. And when the time was, it was, he was ready. We need to develop a sense of timing so that we won't miss out on some things. Somebody might say, won't miss out on our harvest. Now, I want to give you some ways to develop a sense of timing. Spend time in renewing your mind with the Word of God. Because if we're going to enjoy the blessings of God, we've got to understand His timing. He says in John 4:35, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe to harvest. Now, some of you that are from farm country and know anything about farming, they say, you know, when you plant a crop, then after so long, then that crop is going to be ready to be harvested. But I remember Grandpa went out there in that cotton field, and he was looking at it, and he said, Savannah, that was my grandmother, he said, Savannah, I know that everybody's saying we don't need to pick till 2 weeks from now or three or whatever it was. But he said, look at that. This is ready to be harvested right now. He looked and saw what it needed. And some of the other farmers, they waited till this supposed to be the proper time, and they did not reap the crop that he had because he understood the time to harvest. Sometimes people say, well, it's supposed to be here. This is the date. But hey, if you look at sometimes you have to adjust to and have a sense of timing. What Jesus said to disciples enabled them to recognize the right time for things. In this verse, Jesus, he's specifically talking about salvation of people, but this can be applied to other areas of your life as well. Understand some things. Understand the opportunities that God brings your way. Many people miss out on an opportunity because they're not sensitive in their spirit. You know, what God's word says will help you to be correctly understand opportunities that come your way. Knowing God's word will help us to understand the state or condition of things at the right time. You know, growing up with Dad, working with him for those years, he would say, listen, we need to tighten up. I mean, everything was still going good, but he said, you can see that there's a downturn in the finances. He said, we need to tighten things up. We need to maybe not spend as much. And some other people will say, well, bless God. God said if I have faith, I can get it. And they just care. And I was with him when he told a pastor this one time. And he told him, he said, you probably should wait a little bit on this building. Oh, bless God, blah, 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 blah. And I remember Dad said, he said, let me tell you something. That God don't make money in heaven. It's on earth. And if the people don't have it, they can't give it. Come on. So, you know, in your own life, learn to recognize the ups and downs of the economy and adjust everything according, and you'll come out on the other side all right. Come on. Anybody get anything out of this? Or am I just talking to hear myself talk? I hope not anyway. Learn to be led by the Spirit. If you want to know more about that, I got a little book out there. I did a teaching called Listen to Your Heart. It talks about how to be led by the Spirit. You know, it says in Romans 8:14-16, NLT says, for as many as led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now you call him our Father. The Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Now, we start learning about the Spirit when we get saved. Get the Holy Spirit. But it takes time to perfect, to learn how to be sensitive to your spirit, be led by your spirit. It just doesn't happen. Because your spirit can tell you one thing, your head will be telling you, oh, no, don't worry about that. No, I don't. No, no, no. And the spirit's saying that. I don't know. I was going home the other day. I don't know when it was, what day it was, from the office. And I think it was, might have been last week when I, because I, If I'm not teaching, I don't come to the office on Wednesday. If I'm teaching, I come and teach, and then I go home. And I think it was after I taught my third-hour class, and it was about 11:30, maybe around noon. I get out of class about 11:30 or so. And I was going home, and I was just going down the way I normally go. And all of a sudden, I don't know why, I just felt, you know, I think I'll go this way. And my head started beginning to say, well, no, you know, it's faster to go this way. A bunch of red lights going that way. But I went ahead and turned and went that way. Now, did anything happen? Not that I know of. But I learned over a period of years, when I get an impression like that, follow it. Now, most of the time, your head will try to talk you out of it. My head tried to talk me out of it. It said, well, you know, man, it's faster to go on down to get on the freeway. Well, yeah, it is. But I don't know why, but I just had that impression on the inside. So I turned and went that way. My dad says, and he used to say this all the time to me and anybody else that would listen, even when he taught, we need to become more conscious of the greater one on the inside of us. And when we do, we'll learn to walk with him and he'll put you over in life. He wasn't talking about just spiritual life. He was talking about every part of life. I grew up with him. I watched him in the natural do things that maybe didn't seem right. But he learned to listen to his spirit. I never will forget. That's when I started school. I was 6 years old. We took that church in van. Nobody wanted that church. All of his friends told him, don't go there. It's a trouble place. The last pastor that was there, in fact, when we got there, we had to stay with the deacon for 2 weeks because they couldn't get him to move out of the parsonage. And when they did get him out, he had left it in a mess. And then we found out that all of the fixtures were in there for the bathroom, but he had never hooked any of them up. You know, I mean, it was a mess. The church was a mess. Nobody wanted it. Nobody even tried out for it but Dad. So they took him because he's the only one. But I never forget. We were holding a meeting down for old Archie Blue down in down there in Nederland or one of those places down there in South Texas somewhere. And Dad, I remember him coming back over. They'd go out in church and pray every afternoon. Us kids were playing, but we're going to ready. And I remember him talking to Mom, said, "I was praying today, and Holy Spirit told me that I'm the next pastor at Van, Texas." And my mother said, "Oh, my Lord, Kenneth." Because she knew about it too. But you see, he learned to listen to the one on the inside. He straightened that church out, and when we left it, it wasn't that big, but it was bigger than it was when we took it. It was about 150, 170. And there was, I don't know how many people put their name in when Dad left to wanted to go pastor that church. And because Dad had got that church back and got the board, everybody, I mean, they were all working together. They would not, even though they voted on somebody and seemed like everybody wanted them, they wouldn't offer it until they called Brother Hagin and got his blessing on it. But you see, he learned to listen to his spirit. When he was there, he would pray about different things because they had such a tight hold on it. Nobody, I mean, he couldn't hardly do nothing. But he listened to his spirit. That's why he said, you got to spend time praying in the spirit. And when you do, you will become sensitive to the spirit. And it's easy to follow the leading of the spirit and not your head. I know he used to tell me, he said, my greatest breakthroughs in life can't come after praying in the spirit. That's part of why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you pray in the spirit, it makes you sensitive to the things of God. It builds you up spiritually. We have been given the spirit. If we'll listen to him, we'll do the right thing at the right time and be at the right place at the right time. When he speaks and alerts us, don't override it. Oh, it's time to quit, isn't it? I'm sorry. Many people, the Spirit will try to alert them and they'll override it. I know I've had people say, you know, if I would have, I had this happen not very long ago. Somebody said, you know, if I'd have listened to what I felt in my heart, I just kept my mouth shut. Sometimes before you speak, listen to your heart. Listen to your spirit, in other words. That's the heart of man, is the spirit of man. You know, another thing, never get in a hurry trying to make something happen, even if God said it. Isaiah 28, 16, the first part of that scripture said, whoever believes will not act hastily. You know, have you ever seen somebody who was always in a hurry and they're impatient? Everything has to happen, you know, immediately. Some people are sometimes, they're in a hurry to get somewhere. And by being in a hurry, they ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside because they're so zeroed in. Some ministers get in a hurry in building projects and don't get it done right. Some people hear from God, But once you hear from God, you got to know his timing. There's a little book back there. I got a sermon. I pray how to make the dream God give you come true. It's a little mini book. I preached that in 1980 in St. Louis, Missouri at a minister's conference. And in the middle of preaching that sermon, I said, it just came out of me. We're going to have rhemas all over the world. Well, I went and I tried it. And both of them failed. Now, I could have given up, but I realized that's God talking, but I need to wait for the right time. In the early 2000s, what God said to me back in 1980 came into reality, and God said to me, okay, now's the time. You got the base established. You got personnel all over the world. Now is the time. And it exploded. I mean, there's Bill and Tad. They can tell you it exploded. We've got 200 and what is it now? Huh? Over 280 now. You see, it was right, but I was wrong in not letting the timing come into play in God the way God wanted it. He was telling me things, and that's what God does. Do you ever realize that God tells you things about ahead of time? So you can prepare and get ready for it, but don't jump out and try to make it happen. Let it unfold as God leads you. See, once I backed off and just said, okay, Lord, I messed up. Hey, and that's, don't worry about it. Hey, now some people say, well, Pastor ever saying he messed up. Well, I guess I don't need to follow him. Well, hey, listen. All of us make mistakes, even in things that God tells us. What I'm trying to tell you is, listen, just because it's not happening overnight is no sign it won't happen. That was 1980. It wasn't until 2000 that it started happening. That's a few years. You ever notice in the Word of God, if you'll study, you'll see a lot of times the things that it talks about happening, it took a few years before it ever happened. Come on. What I'm talking to you about tonight is that there's a place that God wants you to go and to be, and there are things that God has promised to bring out in your life from the Word of God. But you have to learn to walk with Him and listen to His Spirit and get the right timing. And when you do, you'll inherit all of these things and your joy will be full. So I realize that this hadn't been a shouting service, but I hope you realize that these are some very important things when it comes to our life in the natural and when it comes to our life in the spiritual is having the right timing. Very, very important. Do you realize you're sitting in a building that I drew a plot plan for this whole plot here in 1977, I guess it was. And I had a meeting with all of the, you know, the Chamber of Commerce and all anybody that was anybody in town at that time. And I showed them this plot. This building wasn't occupied. We started it, what, in 90, I guess it was? 89. And we occupied it in 92. I showed them a plot plan, And I said, there'll be an auditorium right here. I didn't call it a church then because we didn't have a church. But I said, right here, there'll be an auditorium right here. I had the classrooms in place, the maintenance center, all of it. There wasn't nothing here but that one building on the corner and half of the one behind it right there on that there. And that park wasn't there. It was just a growed up mess. In fact, we had to take machetes and chainsaws to even get in there to clear it out where we could even find. Nobody even knew that there was a spring back there and a retention pond, and that the water from, and this water flows, y'all don't know it, but water flows to that ditch over there, and water flows to that pond over there underground and from our system. But you see, I had that all the way back in 77. I didn't know the whole plan, but I knew that we weren't going to build it overnight. And here, that was 77. We moved in here in 92. Why am I telling you this? Because I want you to understand that God may be showing you some things, and there may be some things that you see. Let them unfold. Don't try to make them happen. Father, I just tried to talk to your people tonight out of my heart, because I realize and I see so many people, they're not missing it because of the plan. They're missing it because of the time. And Father, I pray that you'd help each of us in our natural lives to get a hold of the right timing. And in our spiritual lives, the same thing. Help us to get more acquainted with the man on the inside, the greater one, the Holy Spirit on the inside that has come to show us all things and lead us in all things. Help us, Father, to enjoy life as we follow you and your leading and all the promises and all the blessings, both natural and spiritual, will come into fruition in our lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand up. Praise the Lord. I just talked to you. As you can tell, it wasn't, I don't know whether you call it a sermon or what you call it. I just talked to you. You know, on Wednesday night, you notice that I just like to talk to my people. I want you to be successful. And I learned what I'm talking to you about from a man that I lived in his house. They call him the modern day faith minister. But I learned all of this from him. And I think you could say he was excess in life. And I talked to him one day and he said, I just learned it from listening to the Holy Spirit and reading the writings of Paul. If you're going to study the New Testament, study the writings of Paul. That who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, that's the most important thing. And as you study that, the Holy Spirit will get you, you'll develop sensitivity, and you'll learn how to develop a sense of timing. Praise the Lord.